From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go out into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and listening ears of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So for the last few years, my husband John and I have made a habit of picking a show and watching it from episode one to the finale. Now, I am not talking about binge watching. This is more like savoring. It takes us about a year, an episode or two or three a week, where we sit down and enjoy the show that entertains us or makes us think, maybe even inspires us. The show we've been watching lately is from about a decade ago. It's called Boston Legal. Now, the main character is played by James Spader. He's an attorney named Alan Shore. The show and the characters are wildly inappropriate. You hear me saying that, right? Wildly inappropriate. Outrageous womanizers. And yet, there's something about this complex character that is so compelling. Alan Shore comes across at first as clearly immoral and unethical. But as you look deeper, you begin to see that his guiding principles matter to him above everything else. He is clear, absolutely clear in his mind about the right thing to do in the service of his belief that the world is unfairly stacked in favor of a system, an establishment that oppresses people. He is not unethical. He has ethics. They are just not like anybody else's. In fact, in time, the same persons that were partners that thought about letting him go begin to believe that his principles are higher than their own. This is challenging for me. I tend to be a rule follower. I cannot imagine doing the things that he does. And yet, as I watch, I begin to realize that it may very well be that there are many instances where if I were in his situation, I would be the one making the wrong choices. Alan places himself far outside the box and breaks whatever rules he has to get us to see and care about and want justice for the character that the audience may not have even noticed until he started speaking. That's what this passage is talking about. People no one was seeing getting what they need. We imagine in this story that the landowner kept needing more people to help in his fields, so he kept going back. But that's our assumption. The passage doesn't actually say that he needed more help. What it does say is that he asked those last people why they weren't working, and they said, no one hired us. And he hired them too. I've heard people talk about this passage assuming that those were the lazy people, the people that weren't there early in the morning. But the passage doesn't say that either. It says, why were you standing here idle all day? All day, standing in the parking lot, hoping to be chosen. These were the people no one wanted. So the landowner hired them. You know, the passage would not have seemed so scandalous if the landowner had quietly paid the people in the order they had come to work. The all-day workers would have been gone. They would not have seen his generosity to the last people hired. But the point of this parable wasn't just generosity, though that is important. The point is that everybody needs enough. We know that because in this passage, Jesus shows us that the last ones matter to God. The landowner wants the first workers to understand and see that a system designed in such a way that some people don't have enough is a broken system. As Clarence Jordan of Koinonia Farms once said, whenever Jesus told a parable, he lit a stick of dynamite and covered it with a story. When we hear stories like this, we tend to think of ourselves as the first people. We imagine ourselves as the hardworking, all-day laborers and get upset about the unfairness of everyone getting equal when we were here in God's vineyard working for God first. But you know, that's missing the truth, that a life lived working in God's vineyard brings its own joy, its own reward. It is a wonderful way to live life with the bedrock foundation of God's love, guiding us to be compassionate and generous, to look for the people the world doesn't see, to stand with those who need friends for the journey. What if instead of thinking about what we get, we learn to celebrate that God's love is big enough for all of us? What if we rejoice that the God of love wants all of us to have what we need? Or what if we change our perspective and imagine ourselves, our children, our friends, in the parking lot, all day long, waiting to be hired, knowing that as the day wore on, the chance of having enough food begins to disappear? You know the statement, your God is too small? It comes with the conviction that God's forgiveness and God's grace and God's love for humanity is so much bigger than we want to imagine it to be when we try to draw fences around who God cares about and what God cares about in our world. Just like in the reading from Jonah, when we see that those who repent and listen to God are valued by God. No matter how much the prophet wants it not to be true, God's forgiveness is greater than our imagination. And then there's the reality that this passage was about a time when most of us were the last. We were not the first ones to hear God's good news. We were not the first ones to be chosen as God's people. Since most of us have ancestors who were not Jewish, we are the latecomers to the faith. We are the last to be hired, and God says you too will be given what you need: the eternal love of God, the kingdom of heaven. God says you will have what you need. The kingdom of heaven is not set up to say some people do not belong. The kingdom of heaven is set up to say whether you find Jesus in the cradle or on the deathbed, you are a child of God. You are beloved. Your identity stands inside whatever walls people try to put up to keep you out. The picture behind me is one that has spoken to me over the years. This image of the difference between what is equal and what is just. You see that in the equality, they all have the same size stool, but some of them cannot see. But in the justice, the goal is that everyone has what they need in order to be able to see. I saw another image like that this week, only this time they took the wall and made it into a clear fence, changing the system entirely. The shift button. I was thinking about that this week. What is an image that we see all the time that could maybe help us think about changing our perspective? Not just seeing things the way they are. When you hit the shift button, everything becomes a capital letter. The font is big enough for all of us. What if every time we look at that button, we ask ourselves where we need to be seeing somebody else as an equal child of God? God's love for us draws no boundaries, puts up no walls, doesn't keep anybody out. May we follow Jesus into the world as instruments of that kind of love and peace. In Jesus' name, amen.